Father, we come to you again, Lord. Thank you. Lord, is there anything for sure? Every heart here certainly ought to feel the tug of the Holy Spirit of God to trust our Lord and our Savior. When we do that, we honor God, and we respond through the Holy Spirit to do His job, to exalt the Lord Jesus. Amazing thing. We just surrender to the Holy Spirit to do what He leads us to do. It amazes me how God the Son is exalted and God the Father is pleased. And Lord, that's our desire. We're in troubled waters a lot of times in life, and we don't know which way to turn. But we know this, you've said you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for those promises that God makes we cannot break, and we're grateful to know that you're there all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Won't take but a minute. We're having communion, of course, tonight. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, and we're going to see what Paul says about what the Lord showed him. Of course, we know in Matthew chapter 26, down a few verses, about 26 to 28, is where the Lord had this Last Supper that we call communion when He was with the disciples. And, of course, here now it's about 26 years later when Paul says he received his message when no doubt he was in Asia Minor for those 3 years after he was called into the ministry, being saved on the road to Damascus. So we'll read these verses, make a few comments, and then we'll just go home. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. And He said, This do ye, as often as you drink of it, remember of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Now, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's an amazing statement, because every time we do this and do it right, Jesus said, we show His death. And of course, we know His death, burial, and resurrection until He comes again. And it means something, doesn't it? It means something to God, but He did it so it means something to us, that we would be able to manifest in a deed what Christ has done for us unashamedly. And that's why I can't understand why all God's people don't take communion when we have it. But people are so busy, they fail to do something and miss out on blessings, I believe, with all my heart. And he goes on, he said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now I want you to notice the next verse. "But let a man examine himself." You know what that's saying? Look at me just a moment. God is saying, let a man or a woman examine himself. He didn't say examine someone else. Isn't it amazing? You understand that? It talks about us individually, surrendered, no one else in sight. I may see others, but it's not that. It's talking about ourselves. We examine ourselves, and He tells us, and not someone else. He said, let us examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that's the reason the Lord is talking about this, and a personal thing for His people, to make things in such a way, knowingly or unknowingly, that things are right. Just as near right as could be, and could be brought from the day you got saved at the time you take communion. And the interesting thing about this, if you look in 1 Corinthians, let's see, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, I'll read a verse to you. The Bible says simply this. Chapter 13, verse 5. He said, examine yourself again. Watch this now. He said here, for the child of God to examine himself, not someone else, but himself. For what? To take of this that God has given us to represent His death, burial, and resurrection, so we'd have an idea to remember something that God did for us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says again, Paul, to the church at Corinth, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Here's what he said. Don't you know your own self? Don't you know for a fact? Back there somewhere or another, there you have the reality of your birth. If not, then it's a simple thing to do. But he says, examine yourselves for you've in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Now, he gives us warning of this to let us know To be saved, you have to examine yourself to see you are saved, but to take communion, examine yourself for the purpose of confession of sin, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, as I think about just a couple of things of this, every time I go through this, I see a little something different. The cup and the bread here mean nothing much other than just something to eat and drink. But when we do it in communion, it transforms itself. It is something in words that God transforms that for us to let us know this is something that pleases God and pleases the Savior as we obey the Holy Spirit and reminds us something about what we happen to us when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. So this cup and bread are transforms into a meaningful spiritual experience for the believer. Now, that makes me understand to see how important this is. Why could it be some people don't take communion because they don't understand what it's about and it don't do for them what it does for us who do? I'll be honest with you. This is a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to do for a checkup on our life. And it's interesting how he tells us in 1 Corinthians a little more on what Jesus said in the upper room of the disciples. See, the value of this experience depends upon the condition of the heart of those who take communion. The person who looks at the condition of the heart don't make any difference. They don't see no need saying it. But for us who realize, even though we're saved, there are some things in our heart at times that needs to be taken care of. And God has put us a way to bring us to remembrance of that and let us know the value, the expression of this will help us depend upon the condition of our heart. And when we take this, we want to be sure our heart's in condition. And the thing about it is so easy, 1 John 1, 9. John simply said the Holy Spirit moved him to write, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. But he said if we confess our sins in verse 9, he's faithful and just. He's not like us. God sees things as they really are. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. Now, that's an amazing thing, folks. And he's not talking about just when you got saved. He's talking about when you literally have communion. That's what goes on again. So I say too many times, and I'll say again, you can be just as clean at communion as you are when you got saved. But you have to be saved to be clean. Okay? And so he goes on. Now, he gives some information here. He said if you do it right, there's a blessing. If you do it wrong, and only God and the individual would know that, because we sure don't know hearts. If you do it wrong, you say, but you know fruit. Yes, but you may produce fruit before it came here, but I don't know what's in the heart right now. You know, some people can deceive us with false fruit. So, see, God said, I'm not playing. I see the heart. And he knows, if you mean, I'll tell you this, if you're sincere in your heart, what you do before the Lord now, and realize it's something that God has set us we could have to be cleansed before him, and we do that as much so as I confess my sin when I got saved, that I know good and well in things here that communion time, I'm be just as clean before God. And that's the reason God lets us, he keeps reminding us. Communion reminds us we're nothing without him. Even as a child of God, we're nothing without him. He takes us all the way. I'm glad he saves us by grace, and that grace is extended to us right on. Now, look, notice quickly just three things. We look back at his death. And that's what we see in verse 23 as he gives this. He said, this is my body which is broken to you. Remembers. We look back first at his particular death. In other words, he wants us to remember that he died. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you remember what he says about the gospel? He says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. By which also, if you're saved, keep in memory that preached unto you, unless in verse 2, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. So the first thing he tells us to look back at his death and understand again in your mind, transforming, renewing your mind of what he did, that you and I might be able to call him our Father, and he called us his child. Then he tells us that we are to remember why he died. You remember what 1 Peter said? And these are answers I can get. As I see this, we know why he died. But in 1 Peter, I see in chapter 2, in verse 24, Peter said, who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree. Why? That we've been dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So he tells me that I'm to look at his death. I look back at his death. I understand I must remember that he did die. I must remember why he died. And then I must remember how he died. And of course, we know in Romans chapter 5, and the Bible simply says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I believe it, where he said, commended it, that, let me go back and find that real fast, like, chapter 5, verse 8, he said, but God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it an amazing thing? That makes me know this. Sometimes you try to get somebody and say, well, I got to do something. Listen, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what can you do then? Aren't you glad? There's nothing you can do to get saved but receive the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive him is to have eternal life. Because God commended his love while we were yet sinners. He loves us that much. Then surely the person who doesn't receive Christ as Savior deserves to go to the place where unbelievers go to, which God made for the devil and his angels. So we see then at this, we look back, we remember that he died, remember why he died, remember how he died. And then I see in verse 26, the latter part of that verse, he talks about we should look ahead. We're to look back first, then we're to look ahead. And he says a lot of that, ye do the show the Lord's death till he come. And when you see that, till he comes, that is, you show his death till he comes. So that's looking ahead. We believe he's coming. Why? Jesus promised he's coming back. And that shows to us as we do this, we're doing it because he said do it till we see him come. And so we're looking ahead when we do this. Why? We're looking for him, right? By the way, folks, if we didn't believe he's coming back, I wouldn't take communion. You say, that's blasphemy. No, that's just trying to be truthful. If God's son is right about communion, he's right about salvation. Amen. He's right about receiving. You know, he's not right in one place and wrong in another place. He's right in every place. Amen. And they have to connect together, see. And so that's what we're seeing. And then we see that we should look within. Notice he said, look back, look ahead, and then take inventory inside. And it's wonderful. We should look within. 27 through 28 tells us that. Paul did not say, now watch this. I want to read that again. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself, see, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth, drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation of himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So what he's saying, that I want you to notice something. Paul did not say that we had to be worthy to take it. Notice this, because none of us worthy to take it. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have access to it. But watch what he said. He said only partakers of it in a worthy, or partake of it in a worthy manner. Now, what is the worthy manner? Is it the way we want to do it? No. If we did, everybody here would be doing it different. It's the way God said do it. How did God say do it? Well, he goes ahead. If we judge ourselves, what do you do when you judge yourself? You do exactly examine yourself. And as you examine yourself, how do you do that? If there's sin there, you go to 1 John 1:9. You see, God is so simple. We complicate it, and people play with it rather than just believe in it. And I believe this. I believe tonight a sincere heart before God, 1 John 1:9, I don't care what's in your past, what's in the past, that's what the blood does. It cleanses us from sin. And you remember when I read this morning that God said, I remember the sin no more? So aren't you wonderful to understand that God renews our mind of what's going on and not be in and out and like the world is today? God gives us information to settle us. But he also reminds us, be sure you know who you are. And how can you do that? It's not you and I don't make it up. I didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going to be a Christian today. Not at all. It comes through the birth. Just like I didn't come one day and say, I'm going to be born in this world. I didn't have no choice in it whatsoever. And I was born with the nature of Adam into this world. But thank God I did have a choice about being born again. By the way, I'd never been born again if I had not been born in this world. So it goes two ways, you know. So he said, only partake of it in a worthy manner. And how did you partake of it? Sin is and must be confessed. Bow our heads, please. And God will tell us individually to come honest before him and know that he cares. And Jesus could save me and all the sin that I had before I was saved. And wash me in that precious blood and forgive me. Surely my life has not been no ways like it was before I was saved. But it also, there's things I'm sure I didn't know, or in the very light of God, went out of control somehow or another. And God gave me that when I come again at a time, 1 John 1:9, and I like what John did there because he included the pronoun we, he included himself. He didn't say you, he said we. He had to do this himself. And I'm glad God arranged it where as I received Christ and repented to be saved, I'm glad that God says as a child, I'm come to him and confess the sin. And he warned me ahead of time, be not deceived about sin. Don't deceive yourself that you have not sinned, but confess the sin. And God has given us a way to do just that. And we thank you for that today. So as individuals, we need to ask the Lord to search our hearts and give it all to him. And know the blood is able to do what we can't do for ourselves. And then we need to do that in a position. If I am the past a husband, or be a wife, or be the dad or mother of a child, or be a child to the mother or dad, every position that we're in, there's certain things that gives us guidelines to guide by. We need to come and say, Lord, in our heart, I want this to be taken care of, and I trust you for it. We can't make things happen, but Lord, we can trust you. And I believe, Lord, let Sister Joy sing that song tonight because this is certain on the tip of our tongue. There are some things we'd like to make happen, but we can't. We have no authority on no one. We can't even make anyone believe what we're teaching and preaching. The Holy Spirit has to convince that. And certainly one thing is for sure. Lord, we can trust you. And we do.